may be seated. The Buyukamas have blessed me in ways that you can't believe. So glad to have come to know Hank and Peggy, and just started to get to know Hank Jr. a little bit, but heard from Sharon Bailey and others about his profound testimony, what God has done in his life through the years. And so as he comes and shares with us, I hope that your heart will be open to what the Lord has done in his life, has allowed to happen in his life, and now here he is today before us. Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. I know there's food waiting. You don't want to get between a crowd and food, but I'm what's waiting. I'm what's in between. So we'll get right to the meat and potatoes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I'm going to be talking a lot about myself because I was asked to tell my story. So I'm uncomfortable talking about myself, but I'm going to. Part of this is my story and part of it's my song because I'm a songwriter. But don't be mistaken. This is not about me. It's about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, and you and I. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So keep that in mind while I talk about myself. First of all, I don't want you to be confused by the name. If you came to hear Hank Buyukama, who's been here many times, well, you are. I'm Hank Buyukama Jr. The Reverend Hank Buyukama, however, is a man of God that's preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world for over 65 years. There are thousands in heaven that thank God for this man's life. And together with my mom, with Operation Christmas Child and the Franklin Graham Organization and the Shoeboxes, both of them, from stadiums to television, gas stations, diners, grocery stores, and churches, they have led untold numbers of people into the gates of heaven. This Hank Buyukama, however, is a simple traveler on the road to forgiveness, redemption, and salvation that was already there and just waiting for me and waiting for us. I'm like Lou Gehrig, I like to say. No, I'm not a very good baseball player, but I am one of the luckiest people on the face of the earth. I'm lucky that God was patient with me and that I lived long enough to see and receive his grace that had been there for the taking all along. For some people, it happens in a flash. For some, it is a slow turning. In my case, it was a very slow turning. It took most of a lifetime. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the show Longmire on television, but I don't watch much TV, but I read a lot of books. And the Longmire has a phrase he uses a lot. I may be slow, but I'm eventual. 10 years ago, in 2005, I was a 310-pound drug addict and alcoholic, smoking at least 2 packs a day and pretty much wanting to die. Today, I'm a little light, 150 pounds, give or take a few, and I'm looking forward to heaven. But I'm no longer in a hurry to get there today. What happened before and after that statement is a story of the will and surrender and choices and who's in charge. As I said, I had great parents. A poor sometimes, but mostly happy childhood with good solid fundamentals of the scripture taught to me daily. But as we know, a child grows up, the world comes into play, and the world, the will, and each person's choices take over. Walt Whitman said in Leaves of Grass, "Not I nor anyone else can travel that road for you. You must travel it by yourself. It's not far, it's within your reach, Perhaps you've been on it since you were born and did not know. Well, at 15, in NIAC, I let the world and my own will take over, and I started down the road of bad choices. The biggest one of those was drinking. I was a talented young man. I must have been, because they gave me a scholarship to college in Indiana for trumpet, baritone, horn, anything with a valve, anything with a mouthpiece. Well, within 6 months, they told me to leave. They didn't ask. They told me to leave. I left in a snowstorm at 17 years old hitchhiking. I worked a few jobs, but while my friends were dying in a war in Vietnam or going to college, I decided I would travel and just pretty much enjoy myself. I crossed America 5 times on foot, hitchhiking. I ended up for a time in San Francisco, where I met a woman who would become my wife for 20 years. Well, my will and my choices were not doing so well, but God was watching out for me. I always worked, I always had a job, but I also always drank. I did mountains of drugs, and it all always started with that first drink of whiskey. That one drink always led to the rest, and the rest was the abuse of myself, my family, the abuse of everyone that knew me. In 1985, I left a job I had for 11 years where I was manager right down the street, NIAC Auto Parts. I could no longer stand the life I was living. Me and my boys would, again, do drugs, drink, all day long and all night long. And like the hitchhiking years, once again, I thought I knew what to do. I needed to move. And I thought that that would help and make everything all right. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I just needed to move. Again, God was watching out for me. Because a few months later, with the new job I had, I realized I had to do something, and I stopped drinking. I stopped for 4 years and 51 weeks, which is kind of ironic. I led meetings for Christian alcoholics in the basement of what was then called Nanuet Lutheran. Now it's Hope Community. Near the end of this 4 years and 51 weeks, I met a woman that knocked me over, and once again, I took back my will, and I started making bad choices again. I left my family for her, and we spent 13 years together until she was taken by cancer. Apparently, I still had much to learn and much fire to go through before I was what God wanted me to be. At this point, I want to ask, why did I fail? Why did I fail? I had almost 5 years, a day at a time. What did I do wrong? Near as I can figure, Satan wanted me back, and I just gave in. Recently, the evangelist Ron Susek wrote in his weekly newsletter, "Constantly you're dogged by your old slave master, trying to bring you back to the mud pits of sin." Why? Satan knows he can never own your soul again. That's gone. He's lost. So what is this madness that keeps him trying to cause you to fail? Frankly, his pride has him in an end-time rage. He lost his bid for God's throne in eternity past and was thrown from heaven as quickly as lightning flashes across the sky. He lost his bid for God's highest creation, us, when Jesus died on the cross. Defeated, there's nothing left for Satan to do but seek to rob God of the glory due his name. And he works hard at it. He knows that to discourage or to defeat you will hinder the development of God's kingdom and dim his glory in the eyes of some people. So like a wild man, Satan hurls stumbling stones under your feet, temptations, setbacks, insults, slander, illness even. Anything else he can find to throw at you. But here's your opportunity to highly glorify God by overcoming his attacks and proving God's faithful love to deliver. Herein you shame the devil and exalt the glory of your heavenly Father. One of my desires, this is Ron Susek still speaking, one of my desires is to be Satan's worst nightmare, emptying his kingdom and populating the kingdom of God. To do so, we must give him no footholds, no strongholds. We must walk in the purity of our calling. In 1992, my 18-year only son was hit by a van and died in my arms, right up the road on Route 9W, Rockland Lake. That moment divided my life in two forevermore, before and after that day. And the thing of that is that after my girlfriend had died, my son died, of course, people give you excuses. Of course you're going to want to be numb and get drunk and do drugs. It's all right. You have excuses. Well, that excuse ended on April 9th, 2007. I stopped making excuses for myself. I gave up on giving up, as I've written in one of my songs, and I asked the Lord God to take over my life, my will, and my whole being, and to make me acceptable in the sight of God, that I might abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I wrote a piece, I guess they're psalms, because they're songs that some people turn into songs and some people just leave them there as poetry, but I've been told by people all over the world that this has helped them. People thought at first that it was in the first person, but it's not. It's the way I heard God speaking to me. It's called "I'll Sing the Song of Life to You." Go ahead, remember the darkness. Go ahead, remember the pain. If you need to, keep them close so you don't look back again. At times I've watched you struggling, both the child and the man. At times I've tried to help you, but you would not take my hand. I'll never leave your side, my friend. I'll always have your back. I'll leave a well in the valley. I'll take your heavy pack. I'll sing the song of life to you with words you cannot sing. I'll comfort you and care for you through the winter into spring. Keep walking from the darkness. Soon you'll see the light. It starts off soft and low, but then it roars so bright. Others have come the way you've come. They're solid and they're strong. Listen, can you hear it? The train's coming with the dawn. I also wrote another piece since I've stopped drinking, and looking back on the years of sin and confusion and the paths that led me to today, to this moment. It's called "Walking in Shadows." I've been walking in the shadows so long, my eyes have completely adjusted. I see things in the dark that are long past wanted, tossed away and rusted. One of the things God gave us was an indeterminate amount of time. Did we have too little? Did we have too much? It all depends on the paths we've walked and the songs we've found that rhymed. The sunny days and the restless nights are never up to us. Some of those events are left to chance, like fairy tales and dust. Did the angels come to sing you a song? Did the demons come out to play? Were you the winner of the battle? Or were you the one that was slain? We struggle and we strain, we run through the rain, all for a piece of the pie, when all we ever really wanted was someone to see through our eyes. The path to my future was going so well until it went through the path of my past. The friends and memories grow hazy now, as if they don't want to last. Decisions are made and some choices are wrong, but some never even make it that far. Sometimes it's fate, and God does the choosing, and they're the ones that tear at the heart. I've been walking in the shadows so long, my eyes have completely adjusted. I see things in the dark that are long past wanted, tossed away and rusted. I can't go on without mentioning a dear friend of ours who's gone on, Reverend Hal Christensen. He was a pastor at Nanuet Lutheran in the late 80s and 90s. And when I quit drinking for the first time, Reverend Hal asked me to start some meetings for a couple of the alcoholics in the church body. He wasn't sure how to handle it. I said, well, I don't know how to handle it either. But I had learned that from some friends that went to AA that helping other people and speaking about your problems is the way to help yourself. So we started, and we met in a church basement weekly for a couple of years, and the basis of most of what I said came from books by a man named Oswald Chambers, and that's why I'm bringing this up. His book, My Utmost for His Highest, my parents gave me 50 years ago. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about this man whose messages had such a great influence on my life and daily walk with God. Oswald Chambers was not famous during his short lifetime. At the time of his death in 1917, almost 100 years ago, at the age of 43. Only three books bearing his name had been published. But among a relatively small circle of Christians in Britain and the U.S., Oswald Chambers was much appreciated as a teacher of rare insight and expression, but he was not widely known. He was not famous. Listen to this. During the last decade of his short life, Chambers served as the traveling speaker and representative of the League of Prayer for 3 years, the principal and the main teacher at the Bible Training College in London for 4 years, and a YMCA chaplain to the British Commonwealth soldiers in Egypt during World War I. Now, during the war, Oswald's wife transcribed his speeches and his messages in tents by candlelight. Those messages became a book of daily devotional readings called My Utmost for His Highest, which my parents gave me early on in my life. And that book actually crossed the country 5 times also. It's been the single greatest influence on my spiritual life next to the Bible and my parents. Oswald died in Cairo in 1917 of complications following an appendectomy. And the complete story of his life is told in Oswald Chambers' Abandoned to God. But I want to read some of Oswald's words that are very good and that apply to my life story. This is called After Surrender, Then What? And this goes back to me failing the first time. Jesus said in John 17:4, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So the first thing we do, we surrender our will. True surrender is not simply surrender of our external life, but surrender of our will. And once that's done, surrender is complete. The greatest crisis we ever face is the surrender of our will. Yet God never forces a person's will into surrender. He never begs. He patiently waits until that person willingly comes to Him. I used to tell alcoholics this. Wives and mothers would ask me to help my son, help my brother. I had a guy pull a gun on me once. If they don't want help, they don't want help. That's all you can do is just tell your story and let them come to God. And that's what God does. We also surrender for deliverance, Oswald goes on. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me and I will give you rest. It is only after we've begun to experience what salvation really means that we surrender our whole will to Jesus for rest. Whatever's causing us a sense of uncertainty is actually a call to our will again. Come to me, he says. And it's a voluntary calling. We surrender for devotion. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. The surrender here is one of myself to Jesus, with his rest at the heart of my being. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself, to me. And once this is done, the remainder of your life should exhibit nothing but the evidence of this surrender. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, whatever your circumstances may be, Jesus is totally sufficient. Oswald goes on to warn, beware of some surrender that you make to God in an ecstatic moment in your life. Now that doesn't mean that if you have a good moment and you hear a good speaker and you're on the mountaintop, that doesn't mean not to take it seriously. But he says just beware, and because sometimes you're apt to take it back again later. Paul said in Romans 6:5, true surrender is a matter of being united together with Jesus in the likeness of his death until nothing ever appeals to you that did not appeal to him. And after you surrender, then what? Your entire life should be characterized by an eagerness to maintain unbroken fellowship and oneness with God. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, to renew means to change to a new life. People ask me, how'd you lose 150 pounds? Well, you know why the diet industry is a $1 billion industry? It doesn't work. You don't diet. You have to change your life. It's just like quitting alcohol or drugs. Food is the same way. It'll creep up on you little by little. All right, so this verse says that we can be renewed in our mind when we choose. We have no choice about being born into this world, but to be born again, if we will but come to Jesus and receive his Spirit, it is within our own power. This is true all along in the Christian life. You can be renewed in your spirit and your mind when you choose. You can revive your mind by sheer force of will. Always remember that Jesus' statements force an issue of will and conscience first, and only as we obey is there the understanding with the mind. The challenge to the will comes in the matter of study. It took me a long time to get that. As long as you remain in a stagnant state, there's no mental progress, so there's no spiritual progress. Some are overwhelmed by the tremendous amount of questions and doctrines. There's people I work with that they want to believe, but they wonder about Noah's Ark. They wonder about this. They wonder about that. It doesn't matter. Those are stories in the Bible, and they're there for us for a reason, but that's not what matters. You have to forge through this stage of being overwhelmed and make it simple and suddenly turn a corner where everything that was difficult and perplexing becomes as clear as a lightning flash. But it all depends on whether you stay stagnant or whether you forge ahead. When people say, preach us the simple gospel, what they really mean is preach us the thing we've always heard, the thing that keeps us sound asleep. We don't want to see things differently. Well, then the sooner the Spirit of God sends a thrust through your stagnant mind, the better. The continual renewal of the mind is the only healthy state for a Christian. Beware of closing your mind and living with the finality of your views today. My testimony is one of surrender and choices. They're almost simultaneous. Choice, surrender. Surrender, choice, will, those same words over and over. To give up the right to yourself, to a being that is all-powerful and created the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth, and all of us. The being that sent his son to become a man in every way and to suffer and die for our sins. Okay, so that 310-pound drug addict, today I weigh 150. I don't smoke, drink, or do drugs. Except NyQuil once in a while. And I have a devotional period twice a day as well as going to a gym. Again, I'm talking about myself. I'm writing and recording spoken word pieces on the internet. It's an amazing world. I'm actually famous. And people listen and write to me from all over the world. When I get home, I answer fan mail. It'd be nice to be rich too, but that'll come or not. I'm getting offers to do albums and audiobooks. I've actually done one audiobook already, and may be able to make some money for retirement to supplement the money I wasted as I went along. I'm fairly successful at my job. I still have issues of anger and anxiety. Those are my AAs. But I pray constantly that these sins will be taken from me. Again, this is not about me, but about you and your relationship with our Lord and Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some problems that even Christians face are mental. Some are physical. But all of them can be dealt with in a way that the Lord will lead you through. I didn't want to say it earlier, but if you don't believe in the devil, we've had this plan since, I think, May. And 2 days ago, I had a tooth fall out. So I'm not speaking like I normally do when I do an audiobook. It's a little strange without the tooth. I ask you today, if you get anything to carry with you from my life story or from what I've just said, you go about your lives as fathers, husbands, sons, mothers, wives, and daughters. Remember that when going through trying and troubling times, God is preparing you for the place and the work that he's chosen for you. There's a line in a song I like very much. It's not a well-known song, but it says, every drop of water shapes the stone. That's something you can carry and remember. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you.
well, I think it absolutely appropriate that we change our closing hymn to 319. This is my story. This is my song, 319. Let's stand together.